Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch on this show. And we go other places everywhere that most talk shows can't go to. I don't know if I said that right, but we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com right now. There is a live streaming video cast of the show. You can watch how we perform the show. You can watch the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs, the tragedy, the laughter, the agony, and the thrill of victory at philhendryshow.com. You need a backstage pass, and I would suggest, I would say, without fear of refuting or refutation, it's the best online buy out there. Not as good as porn, but...
Yeah, I was going to say.
All right, but it's, you know, right up there. Okay, porn is number one, and then our website. For guys, right. Getting serious here. Bobby Dooley is going to join us and her husband, Steve Dooley. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this. Not a lot more, but a little bit more about the situation in Florida. Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman. But also the lottery last week. And there were questions concerning the lottery and the popularity of it. Who's playing the lottery? Who exactly is benefiting? And are there people that are kind of being swept along in these crazes? Every time there's a big jackpot, people get swept along. And the next thing you know, everybody is supposed to be playing the lottery. And if you're not playing the lottery, you know, why aren't you? And it becomes almost a social qualifying measure stick. Bobby joining us. How are you this evening, Bobby? Good to have you back with us.
I'm doing fine, Phil.
And we know that you had posted on Twitter and a couple of other things.
Yeah.
Saying that you guys felt used a little bit.
Yeah, we did. Phil, I want to make a very quick mention to your listeners about what you were talking about last hour. Maybe not so much about the George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin situation, but I'm white, and I do understand the black mentality. I want the black to know that Steve and I both... Steve and I both understand the black, and that we know that there are a lot of whites that are really ignorant and talk, you know, dumb about a lot of these issues, but we are not those kinds of people.
Okay.
And we wanted your listeners to know that we have money, yes, which I don't think necessarily excludes the blacks.
A lot of black people have money.
That they do.
So it's not about money.
No, it's not about money, but we are a moneyed white. And still, we have great sympathy for blacks and Chicano or...
Hispanic.
Hispanic people, Chicano, Hispanic people. But getting back to the point of the lottery, we had a lot of people approaching us last week asking us, have you bought a ticket? Did you get your lottery ticket? Are you going to be getting a ticket? Do you have a ticket?
A lot of people want to know.
A lot of people wanted to know. And I remember stopping and looking at Steve a couple of times and sort of mouthing the words to him but not really audibilizing it, saying, are they for real? What are they talking about?
Yeah, they were looking at it.
Okay.
And the reason why I was really taken aback by it is, if you look at me, and I think if you look at Steve, and you look at the home we live in, and you look at the anything, the cars that we drive, I don't think we look like people who buy lottery tickets.
What do people who buy lottery tickets look like?
Okay, so now hold on, Phil.
Yeah, but Jerry, this is not a race.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, hold on, Phil. Okay.
No, I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just, I'm asking you: is there a way that they look?
Well, you know, this is not racial, Phil, okay?
Oh, no, 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 I know that. When you say you don't look like, then there must be someone who does.
Well, but
I would say working class.
Yeah, that's the definition we came up with.
Working class, people who are certainly don't live in the kind of neighborhood that we live in, certainly do not drive. My husband drives a Mercedes sedan. I drive a Cadillac Escalade. I'm not saying that to say we're better than anybody. But people that buy lottery tickets are not necessarily going to look like that. When we were approached, did you buy your lottery ticket?
Well, now, who asked you these questions?
Well, I was going to get to that. They were mostly of parents at the public high school. They were not parents at the private. They were mostly the parents from the public high school. A lot of them people that approached me at the grocery store, a lot of women that approached me, just, you know, people that I know casually, mostly from school.
Because you're going to meet a lot of people from the school district, otherwise we don't know them.
Yeah, most of the people that I know socially live here in our community, but you will meet women from the school, and those are the ones that are going to say these things, and you don't want to say to them, do you know how much you've hurt me?
What is hurtful about that, if you could tell me? I mean, I understand when you say, well, I have a certain lifestyle, I have a certain level of achievement, and so on. I get that. But when someone says to you, you and Mr. Dooley, both of you who are well off, did you get a lottery ticket? Are they saying, do you take that to mean you don't look prosperous?
That's exactly it.
Yeah,
that is exactly what I'm saying. And I work very hard on not only on the beauty of my home and the beauty of our community, I also work out and I try and look my best and try and put forth an image of a woman that is someone other women can look up to. And when other women who don't have our money, who may not have the good things that we have, when those women come up to me and say, oh, did you get your lottery ticket?
It's
very hurtful, and those are the instances when you really have to get a grip and you have to say, okay, she didn't mean anything by that. She didn't mean anything by that. You have to repeat it over and over so you don't wind up just saying something, you know, that...
You feel it's personal?
What is?
Well, when she says to you, did you get your lottery ticket?
Well, you feel devalued. You feel as if she's looking right at everything that you have, and she still is going to barrel right on through and ask you, gee, did you get your lottery ticket so you can have money and, you know, these ridiculous whatever you want to do with your money? I mean, most of these women that I talk to are going to win the lottery, if they ever do win the lottery, which I doubt they will, but, you know, I mean, I really doubt it.
Why do you say that? I'm just curious.
They just don't look like, you know.
They don't look lucky.
Yeah, they don't look lucky, I guess. But when they say, oh, did you buy your lottery ticket? And
do you want to get a drink of water or something?
Yeah. Come on, here's some water.
Thank you.
This is emotional for you, and I'm wondering why.
My mother and father were both people that worked very hard. My father was in the military. He was also an engineer, and eventually I grew up in Newport Beach, and we had a multi-million dollar home that we lived in, and my mother went through the same thing. We were down at the grocery store down on Balboa Island, and someone approached her and said, I think they offered her an application for work, some kind of a job thing. And it crushed her, knowing that we had all that money and knowing that we did our best to put our best foot forward. And someone came along and said, oh, would you like to apply for a job here? And they gave her an application. It crushed her, and I still remember this.
Your mother was insulted by someone offering her
an application to work at that grocery store.
An application to be a checker at a grocery store. So what I'm saying is, there is a need. I don't know how we can articulate it. I'm asking you, Mr. Hendry, and I'm asking your listeners. I need closure. I know that Steve needs closure, and there are a lot of us who need some closure on what has been a very traumatic week. This was a very big jackpot. some people won an awful lot of money. Good for them. You know, way to go. Don't spend it all in one place. But what about the rest of us who got swept along, as you said very well, Phil, in this lottery mania? We didn't buy tickets. We didn't need tickets. We didn't care about the money. And yet we got swept right along with all of the other people, and people are saying, oh, too bad you didn't win, and, gee, you have to go back to your, you know, your life, which my life is very good.
Well, I guess maybe they're not very perceptive people. I don't know what you mean by closure.
Well, it's some kind of a closure.
Yeah, some closure where there can be some kind of a statement from the Mega Millions people.
You would like an official statement from Mega Millions? To what effect? I mean,
at least I don't. I feel as if I'm seen and that people see me.
All right, Bobby, can you hang on the line? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. This was a conversation we started last night on closure. Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley own an expensive home. They drive expensive cars, and they have money, and yet people ask them, did you buy a lottery ticket? They feel that they have been devalued, that they look working class, that they look like the kind of people that would buy a lottery ticket, and they need closure, hopefully, they think, from the Mega Millions people, wherever that's located at the state level. 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley from the Western Estates area of Southern California, also the Homeowners Association there, talking about the need for, you used the word closure, Ms. Dooley, on the lottery last week because of what you perceive to be the unfair treatment.
Well, you know, I was talking to Steve about what people are talking about with Trayvon Martin, and it's not the same issue, but there is a level of justice that needs that both situations need.
And no, I'm not. We're not going to do that. You're not going to compare your situation.
No, I am not, Phil.
My wife said not. Just says about justice.
I'm just saying it's about justice. If you're thinking of what's going on in Florida and the injustice that was done there, and I'm white, but we're very much the black. We're not prejudiced. And
That's very nice, but the situations are not the same.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that, Mr. Henry. I'm saying that the fact that people said to us, oh, did you buy... You can imagine, oh, did you buy a lottery ticket? Do I look like I buy lottery tickets? That's the injustice that we're talking about.
Yeah, but... Okay, but to put that together with the freaking Trayvon Martin situation... 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ralph. Ralph, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. The only closure that the lady needs is to see a psychiatrist. How can somebody asking you, did you buy a lottery ticket, insult you?
I'm sorry?
From the fella that said that he was introduced to the Black Panthers, that's an insult to me, doctor, because I was affiliated with the Black Panthers, and I don't remember any white man that I know of that infiltrated or that was bought to the organization. So wherever you was bought to the organization from, I think you're lying.
Don Mixa is over. Don?
Yeah, I just stopped at the Dooley's. Is this the guy? You're calling me a liar. I'm telling you that I used to date one of the... sisters of the minister of something. I forget. Propaganda or some bullcrap. He's the minister of something.
You dated. And you're
we went out. I mean, I took her out for coffee.
You were supposed to speak for all black people? Come on now.
No, I don't. I speak for all black people, to whites, not to, in other words, I represent you to white, you know, to white.
You represent me. You're not black.
Phil, can I say something?
Go ahead, Bobby.
I want to say to the gentleman, I understand the gentleman. I'm white, and we believe in civil rights for the black. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. I want to get back to what I was saying to the gentleman. I represent you only to the white. See what I mean? In other words, to blacks, I don't speak for you. You can speak for yourself.
Correct.
Okay, but to whites, I will, you know, I'll run interference for you.
Yeah, but do you hear what the man is saying? What gives you the right to do that?
I don't need nobody running interference for me. I'm 62 years old. You know, I grew up with racism.
Yes,
so I don't need nobody running interference from me to talk to anybody white. About
but you understand that I... what do the kids say today? They say that you're down, you know... If I was with one of the kids today, they'd say, "Oh, you know, Mr. Professor Mix is down." That's all I'm trying to say.
Well, how do you know that? How do you speak for yourself that way, Don? How do you?
Well, were you ever affiliated with the Panthers, Phil? No.
You weren't affiliated with the Panthers. You went out with a girl.
She vouched for me.
She vouched for you where? I mean, were you sitting in on meetings? Were you?
I was friendly with those guys. You know, nobody.
So you were friendly with him.
Okay.
Like, I think we're getting way off.
Check this out. If you were
getting way off the beaten path.
If you were friendly with them, what program did they start that the government took over and recreated?
It was the Hot Breakfast for Kids. It was the Head Start.
That's not the only one. Come on now.
Wait a second. You didn't say to name two. I just named one.
Name the program. Program, not singular.
He said plural.
All right, well, there was the Hot Breakfast, there's Head Start, and then there was Head Start, and then there was the, had something to do with haircuts or something, I forget.
Haircuts?
I don't know. But it was Head Start, I know that. And then the, I know what it was. Affirmative Action. Wasn't that it?
Affirmative Action.
Yeah, wasn't that it?
You're so racist. You know, Mr. Don Mixa?
Yeah.
You sound like an idiot. I know you stopped by for a drink.
What do you mean I sound like an idiot?
No. I mean Mr. Mixa.
Idiot.
No, not you. Not you. Don Mixa does. I didn't say you.
She wasn't talking to you. She was talking to Mr. Mixa. Is that it, Bobby?
Yes, I was talking to the professor who said that Head Start or something, and then you said haircuts.
Yeah, I said that they started some program for free haircuts.
I will apologize.
Yeah, see?
I don't think that means he knows people. You could read that in the newspaper. People figure that out by reading the newspaper.
Hey, Mr. Henry, this gentleman here is a former member of the... you were a Panther or something, and he vouches for me. That girl vouches for me. I got a lot of black guys vouching for me. Anybody vouch for you?
No, nobody's vouching for me.
Bingo. Now, let me just put it to you this way.
I've called up. I wanted to say something. And I want to say that I believe, with all of my heart, that George Zimmerman is white. Even though they said there's a Mexican.
Yeah, they said there's both Mexican.
So what?
You know, both of you guys are nuts. Thank you for, you know.
Hold on, one thing on George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman is a Mexican.
Did anybody ever stop to think that when the young man got killed and the police pulled up, that the police didn't hit him in the back of the head and push him down to give him an excuse to why he shot that young man?
Better yet, maybe the police hit him in the head because he just didn't like him.
that's real funny.
That's giving him an excuse for what he did.
Exactly. If you say that the cops knocked his head in,
Well, only after the fact they knocked his head in, and then he shot the guy, that would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, Don, thank you very much. I didn't know you knew the Dooleys.
Yeah, I was stopped by.
Okay, and thank you, Ralph, very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You have a very good night, sir. We are talking to the Dooleys. Can we get back to what we're talking about?
Well, I want to talk more about the injustice that blacks, and we are white.
No kidding.
Oh, you know, you're such a smartass, Phil. You know, a lot of...
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Bobby and Steve Dooley in a moment. Man.
Can I get a little, can I get that coffee to go? Yellow. So your kids listen to some real garbage, you know that?
This is Seth's favorite band.
Sounds like garbage to me.
Hendry. My son loves this band.
I don't.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our news and information hour coming up next hour. And lots of news. Keith Olbermann went on the David Letterman show, and the headline here says, I screwed up big. We'll find out what he means by that. Something tells me, I could be wrong, but something tells me that Keith Olbermann was not talking about how he, quote, screwed up by being mean or nasty to current TV. I think he's probably talking about how he screwed up, as in he should never have gotten involved in that situation. We'll find out. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us here on the line from Western Estates as we continue talking about the lottery. I know that we got sidetracked there with Don Mixa. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to say about that, Bobby, in terms of the Trayvon Martin situation.
Well, only, Phil, to again say to everyone that Steve and I are very sensitive to the problems of minorities. This has nothing whatsoever to do with insensitivity to minorities. We are, and always have been, although we do vote Republican, that is also about being conservative financially.
Yeah, a lot of people think you're Republican, you don't like blacks. That isn't the case at all.
Yeah, and so...
So you're conservative, but you're socially liberal.
I can't really tell you. I'm not sure I know exactly what that means.
Never mind. All right. So
when you do that, when you go, oh, never mind, it sounds like the people that were coming up to me and saying, oh, hi, did you get your lottery ticket? Like they're blowing you off. Like they're not seeing me as a person.
Yeah, what brought up is Metamorphosis, Mr. Hendry.
Did you read Metamorphosis?
No, but you talked about a lot on the show.
Yeah, you've talked about Kafka's Metamorphosis.
Yeah, but it helps if you've read Metamorphosis by Kafka, which is basically an essay. It's a short story about the existential narcissism of all human beings. We only care about ourselves, you know?
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you may be talking about how people don't pay attention to you, Bobby, but if I may...
Please don't call me Bobby in the familiar way, because... these are very... I would appreciate if I was referred to as Ms. Dooley, and the reason why I'm saying that is...
All right.
But the reason why I'm saying that is because a lot of these issues are very important to me, and you sound... you have sounded hostile.
I don't mean to be hostile. I will certainly address you as Ms. Dooley. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, keep my wife, Mr. Henry, do that.
I understand that, Mr. Dooley. I don't want to disrespect anyone's wife. And I'll do that. I'm going to get Margaret Gray is on the line here from Santa Monica calling in.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean...
What does that mean? Oh, God. Is she on the air? Yes, I am on the air. Well, how do you know Mr. Hendry didn't say, I know by the sound that he's put me on the air? The reason why I said, oh, God, is because this was my hour. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to preempt your hour. But you mentioned me by name. I most certainly did not.
Who mentioned you?
I heard my name mentioned when you were talking to the various Black Panthers. I never mentioned your name.
I don't believe I heard your name mentioned, Margaret.
Frank, let me give me the phone.
Frank, don't do it.
Give me the phone. Every time he hears a conversation on the radio, is this Phil Hendry? Is this Phil Hendry?
Yes, it is. Frank, how you doing?
Better than Custer, young man. How are you?
Good.
Every time he hears a conversation on the radio having to do with the Black Panthers, black, anything black, and that's the thing that's sick about him, you know, and he is.
I'm sick. You're the one calling every female a he.
that's my right because of the gonorrhea that went into my brain. But the point I'm making is that every time he hears anything having to do with black, it could be, we could be playing roulette. All of a sudden, he wants to go on and on about how he knows.
Give me the phone, for God's sake. The only reason why I called in, Phil, is I heard the comments by Ms. Dooley when she said that she's socially liberal and the blacks and the blacks and the blacks. Now, I will have you know that I have had long-standing friendly relations with a great many of the underground leftist organizations whose names will go unmentioned, thank you very much.
Better underground.
Oh, would you shut your...
Oh, come on. These groups haven't been around for years. Who cares?
I beg your pardon?
These groups haven't been around for years. Who cares whether you got, you know...
I happen to... Oh, my God, did you hear that? She went... Did you hear her croak?
Yeah, I heard her croaking out.
Excuse me? You went... I did not say anything. I heard you say you went... Well, my voice cracked. God, what a child. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Well, you...
This is going to be fun.
Will you just say what it is you came on here to say? You wanted to talk about how you've got more credibility.
I do have more credibility when it comes to some of these groups. Now, I'm not saying that the Weather Underground is still operable. I'm not saying that there are still functioning cells, per se. I'm simply saying if you're going to have someone on your program talking about the viability... Would you please not interrupt me? If you're going to have someone on your program to talk about the viability of the Black Panthers or any of these other groups, I am the one because I did the legwork. I did the journalistic legwork. God, what an ego. Excuse me? Your ego is out of control. It really is. Who cares? I don't care. All I was talking about, but yeah, I heard what you were saying about how you're on the verge of tears because people asked you, did you buy a lottery ticket? You know?
Hey, I'll tell you a secret. He bought a lottery ticket.
You mean Margaret did?
He sure did. He bought a lottery ticket.
Are you dirty... You betrayed me that way, wouldn't you?
Okay, this is getting really silly. It's not involving any conversation or any material or anything that I care to listen to. Okay?
Well, so, what are you? Are you the big dictator on the radio tonight? Did you hear what she said?
She said dictator. No, I'm not, but I don't care whether you bought a lottery ticket.
Well, isn't that what's being talked about? I'm talking about it. I'm not talking to you about it.
That's right, Margaret. If you wanted to talk about the Black Panthers, you missed the hour.
Frank, would you?
Sorry, I had to hang up on her. 877-876-PHIL.
It's a good thing you did, Phil, because she was really wearing on my nerves.
And what is this, Frank's back?
Yeah, Mr. Gray.
Frank, I'm sorry I hung up on her, okay?
Oh, no, I'm glad you did, because I'm just calling. There's no hard feelings. I'm glad you hanged up on him, too. He's painted him, you know. I mean, he's my wife, and I love him. I love him very much. And the sex with him is better than any woman I've ever known. But,
yeah.
It's my gender confusion, huh?
Yeah, it's really weird, man. I mean, I don't know whether or not you've gone to get help.
That's really weird, man. Hey, man. Hey, Margaret.
Yeah?
My gender confusion is really weird, man.
Hey, Frank, I hope you never get over your gender confusion, and I hope it eats your brain away even more.
That's a hateful thing.
877-876-PHIL. Who, anybody else want to get hung up on tonight? Anybody else?
I don't.
Okay, well, all right, fine. Anybody else want to call in and give me a hard time? Give me some crap. Go ahead and give me a call.
Don't get so pissed off about it.
I'm getting pissed off about it. Excuse me. Continue, Bobby.
Well, I really don't know where to go from here. I mean, all I said was...
Please don't yell at my wife.
I'm not yelling at your wife, sir. You're not yelling at your wife at all. I'm just saying anybody want to call up and start telling me my business, I'll hang up on you, too. I'm not screaming at you, Bobby. I apologize. You were saying that people asking you, did you buy a lottery ticket, offended you.
It was very offensive, yeah.
And you also said you need closure.
I do need closure, yeah. And I don't quite know what form it could take, but we were thinking that whoever runs the Mega Man or Mega Monster, whatever it's called,
Mega Millions.
Yeah, we got a Mega Mega Board.
Mega Buoy?
Mega, yeah.
Mega Millions.
All right, whoever runs it, they could possibly give us closure.
You're really upset, huh?
Mr. Henry, I notice a lot of people cry on your show.
Yeah, they do cry on my show, and I think it's because the emotional nature of the show. Bobby, you going to be okay?
Bobby, you all right, honey?
I just wish.
You just wish people would give you closure. What?
Miss Gray.
What do you want, Margaret?
Oh, my God. She sounds like she's having a rough bowel movement.
All right. That's it.
I didn't do anything. We got to hang up.
I'm hanging up on everybody. I'm hanging up on everybody. Even you, Bobby. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah, even you. All right, what a night, man. All right, so thank you, Ms. Dooley. Thank you, the Dooleys. Thank you, the Grays. Thank you, the Blue and the Gray. Thank you, the Red and the... You know, I bet a horse once in the fifth race at Santa Anita named the Red and the Gray.
How did you?
I think I hit it across the board, just barely. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth.
This is a show that's also a
the
win
Phil
and a
Henry
place.
Show.
All right.
That's pretty good. We haven't used that.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the El Pacifico, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, our news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Please do join us on our website, philhenryshow.com, for our Phil TV and HD feed. And as well, if you don't yet have a, if you don't want to get a backstage pass right away, you can stop by our merchandise shop. And check out the new Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. Now, this hoodie predates anything in the news. I don't want anybody thinking that this was, ooh, wow, let's take advantage of that. No, you know, you can rest assured, and there's plenty of people who vouch for the fact, that the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie was in our shop months in advance of recent events in the news. It just so happens. That it's something people wear, and especially out here on in California in the wintertime, people spend time on a beach. Probably you guys in Florida and, you know, back east, and wherever there is sand and where there's water, and you're spending time outside in the winter, man, you really, those hoodies come in yeah, even when it's snowing, wherever, those hoodies come in plenty handy, man. So check out our souvenir shop. We've got our new Bobby Dooley keychains. Bobby's been on the show tonight. She's got her own keychain. Check that out. We've got our mugs, we've got our hats, we got our T-shirts, we got it all at the Phil Henry Show shop there at our website, philhenryshow.com. So, I mean, really ugly, man. Really ugly, you know.
What? Trayvon Martin?
It's just, it's an ugly situation. And the thing of it is, now, is that when I look at this, is there any way, you know, that you can't... See, this is a police department failing to do its job, and now look what happens. We're gonna have to go through the living hell of working this out, and I can tell you right now, coming from the history of our country, this Zimmerman, I don't know, man. I don't know how you don't charge him, you know.
What do you say? You're saying they're going to have to charge the guy.
Yeah, they're going to have to charge the guy. It's almost like they're going to have to convict the guy. I don't know. I don't know. They're going to have to, I'll tell you what they're going to have to do. If you want to talk about what they have to do, they have to do it right. They got to do it in the just way. They have to do it in the legal way, and they have to do it smart. It has to be consistent with other cases that are similar. It has to be consistent with the law. No appearances of, no fooling around, no bullcrap here, you know? And,
yeah, but you know, man, every time you talk about that, every people talk about that, nobody understands. You know that black people got a point they're trying to make.
I understand that.
You know, it's been like decades, 200 years of this stuff.
No, I understand. There's a long, long, long history of injustice, and stuff has to get done the right way. I get it, okay?
Yeah, but when are you going to get over it? See, that right there, that's what I'm talking about.
See, bud, when are you going to get over it? That's like me. That's like if you were a kid and your parents beat you. okay? And all they said to you was, when are you going to get over it? Okay?
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the same thing. When are you going to get over it? I know we beat you up. I know we smacked you around. I know that we kicked your ass. But when are you going to get over it? No kid likes to hear that. Human beings as adults, we don't like to hear it either. It is the, one of the big problems with the way we treat each other in the human race in general is we just don't want to see each other. That's why I said, I made a comment once, that only 3% of the human race is really capable of looking outside of themselves and seeing the world as it is. Only 3%. That's how far we got to go in really seeing what other people are going through. So to sit there and say, you know, it's been dealt with. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Not from the standpoint of, you know, something bad happened. I don't want to hear about it. You know, my parents were like that. You know,
like what they do.
My mother was like that. My mom, you know, oh, I did the best I could. You know, my mother was not a good mother. I mean, I love her and, you know, RIP, rest in peace, all that stuff. But neither one of my parents were particularly good parents. And, you know, I know that there is not a perfect, an embodiment of perfection when it comes to parenting. But I can point to a lot of parents that were way better than mine. And as we got older and we tried to deal, and I say we, I mean myself and my siblings, my two sisters and my brother, we tried to deal with them and talk to them about this stuff. They didn't want to know, man.
Yeah, they don't want to know, man. Yeah, but what's that got to do with white people?
It's the same thing, man. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but the whites today, they didn't have no slaves.
It doesn't make any difference, man. The Germans today, they didn't have any, they weren't Nazis, but they're dealing with it. I'll tell you what, Germany right now has got more guts than the United States when it comes to dealing with the past. You go over to Germany, you take a look at those kids, and I'm talking about 20, 30-year-olds. They're very open, and they deal with the Nazi past. They have museums that are staffed by people in their 20 and 30-year-olds, staffed by people in their 20s and 30s. That country has done as much as they possibly can to come face-to-face with its past. America hasn't even come close. You know, and I'm always talking about how great our country is, and it is a great country, but there's an area where we come up short, man. That's all I'm saying.
You always say that if we're not doing good, then the rest of the country can't neither.
Maybe the German generation today, they have the benefit of a lot of education. There's a lot of enlightenment today that there wasn't 100 years ago. And maybe the enlightenment on the slavery issue and the Jim Crow issue, maybe that should have happened 100 years ago. Maybe it should have, you know, maybe if somehow we could have gotten much smarter than we were back then. But we weren't, you know. I mean, we were what we were. All right, so that's that. Other stuff, Keith Olbermann was on the David Letterman show and said some stuff. And I went into this during our pre-show. I don't know if we'll have time to go into it now, but essentially here's what Olbermann said. In his first TV appearance since his ouster from the current TV slot that he had last week, Keith Olbermann told David Letterman on The Late Show Tuesday that, quote, I screwed up really big.
Yeah, I bet you, is he saying he really did screw up?
No. He's saying he screwed up by going to work for them. I'll tell you how he really screwed up in a minute. Let's just start there, he said, said Olbermann, according to an early transcript provided by CBS. I thought we could do this. It's my fault that it didn't succeed in the sense that I didn't think the whole thing through. I didn't say, you know, if you buy a $10 million chandelier, you should have a house to put it in. Just walking around with a $10 million chandelier isn't going to do anybody a lot of good, and it's not going to do any good to the chandelier. So Keith Olbermann comparing himself to a $10 million chandelier, a very valuable thing in a very crappy house. Okay, that's what he's saying. And here's where he blew it. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon. And either he's not being honest with the audience, which I don't think he is, or he's really stupid, which I don't think he is. So I think he's being dishonest. He was dishonest, I think, when he said, well, I really cared about the audience and my staff. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Keith Olbermann, if he got $10 million a year, then he could have solved this problem by producing the show himself. With $10 million, you can rent a studio, you can rent you can start a company, a production company, which is what most of these guys do. You know, everybody. owning their own production company and producing the show for the network. That's what happens. Maybe it's because Olbermann comes from a news background that he doesn't quite get it. Maybe it's because he didn't get good advice. But if you're inking a $10 million a year deal, I'm stunned that somebody didn't say, here's $10 million, you produce the product. You produce the product. That's what David Letterman does. That's what a lot of people do. But Olbermann's a news guy. I don't know. And I don't know who his agent is. I don't know why somebody didn't kick him in the ass and say, you produce it. That way you can't bitch and moan about the quality. You can't bitch and moan about the equipment or anything else. You'll produce it. We'll put it on current TV. That's what we're paying you $10 million for. Was that done? I don't know. More to come. Talk about that and other stuff. On the Other Stuff show, on the only righteous white man on the radio today.
Yeah, right.
Well, the world famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, Mr. Henry.
Phil Henry.